What's up, everyone, and welcome to Audacity. Today on Audacity, Team Litmus is going to question Sahej Arora, founder of Hamari Gullak. Hamari Gullak is an organization which focuses on eradicating financial illiteracy in India. Working for a noble cause, it's an honor to welcome Mr. Sahej Arora on Audacity. So, Mr. Sahej Arora, can you please give a small, like a brief to something, what's Hamari Gullak, like some information about Hamari Gullak?
So, thank you so much for having me. Hamari Gullak, basically, so the problem which people are facing nowadays is that people don't know anything about finance. What we are trying to solve is the problem of financial illiteracy. People at some point of life, everyone will have money, right? Even if you do doctor, even if you do engineering, you'll have money, but you don't know how to manage it. Managing money is a problem there. And in our education system, we never get a lot of emphasis on finance and personal finance. Because of which the students don't know anything about finance. They earn money and then they have bad financial decisions. This leads to lesser wealth creation. So they are never satisfied with their money because they cannot get more of it. So they will run behind money throughout their lives, and at the end of the day, they will still not be satisfied. That's where we come in. We give you the financial education which you always deserve.
Okay. So do you think the education system of India is the reason behind financial illiteracy in India?
Yeah, actually, I would not completely blame that. The finance is considered to be a very dry subject by all people. You never think of finance of being very interesting. Like when you talk about science, people are very interested in it. They're experiments, they're different things. When you talk about finance, people think that it's all that economists do, something like that. There's a taboo behind finance if we talk in clear terms. On top of that, even the education system, like the new education policy is very promising, but the old one, it did not give a lot of importance on finance. If I talk about my personal experience, you all might know that there was a chapter called as compound interest, right? So compound interest was one of the only chapters related to finance. But again, it was mathematized and there were just formulas and stuff there. So yeah, so I believe that the new education policy is very promising.
Okay. I completely agree with you, Sahej. So what incident or motive made you start Hamari Gullak?
Yeah, so... Exactly. This was the same story behind it. We had one more chapter called as GST, right, in 10th standard. A chapter called as GST about goods and services tax. So I was the child, I was very excited at the beginning that finally something related to finance. I gave a lot of attention in class, gave all the answers. My other friends did not care at all. They just did the formulas, they got the marks. So that's where it hit me, right? That why don't people have enjoying finance? Like they are also going to get money at some point of their life, right? And yeah, so as I have told this story before, that I have a note on my phone. It's for the business ideas, all the problems which I face. So the phone goes with me everywhere, right? So I write all the problems in that note, right from like if I sit in the car and there is nothing to hang my mask on. So I'll write mask hanger, something like that. Any problem which I face in the day. And at the end of the day, I would just analyze what can be the possible solutions for that. And one fine day, like on this day when we were taught GST at school, I wrote that financial problem. And at the end of the day, I was just thinking, what can be done? So it never occurred to me that there can be a business which can help people understand financial knowledge. That's where it hit me that it became something. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, thank you for your answer. What inspired you or who inspired you? Like someone who you look up to, a man that gave you suggestions for Hamari Gullak or like gave you the idea to start Hamari Gullak?
So actually this idea occurred to me. A very big part of this is my father. My father is a chartered accountant. So he like since a very early age when I started to develop a little interest in finance, he saw that. So there was finance talk in the car while going to school, at home, on the dinner table, everywhere. So that gave me a lot of interest in finance in the very early age. And when I got this idea, so my dad, he has a lot of knowledge about startups and finances. So I have also had startup ideas before, which he completely rejected. But this was the first startup idea, which he thought that this might be practical, this might go somewhere. So he guided me when I had my own ideas, and together the experience and the ideas got Hamari Gullak.
So, matlab he has gave you suggestions for Hamari Gullak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tirth, I think you should follow up with your questions.
Hello, sir. This is Tirth here. So, I have a question that according to you, what makes Indian students make bad decisions regarding finance and hence end up taking loans in future?
Yeah. So as I said before, that we are not taught about managing money at school, not even business finance. So if the the students, they never learn about it. So when their schools get over, they get internships. Like, let's take an example of an engineering student. He does not know anything about finances 10th standard. So in 11th and 12th, he has to study about science. The four years he'll do engineering. After that, if he does not do a management degree, he will never know about finance. So when he starts earning money, he does not know what to do with this money. So what he will do is he will think that my dad tell to open a fixed deposit, an FD account. So he'll put all his money in an FD. But the problem is that FD account nowadays are not very good. The rate of interest are very low. And due to inflation, sometimes you're losing money keeping an FD account. This is the reason why they cannot create a lot of wealth, according to me.
Okay. And what are the steps should a middle class Indian...
Teet, can you repeat your question? It would be great.
Oh, sorry. I'll repeat. So what are the steps to become financially free in future, according to you?
Yeah. So for that, first you have to learn the basics of finance. The taboo behind finance being a dry subject has to be removed. Finance should be taught at every school. People should know finance, like at least the personal stuff, not big, but at least the basics of finance, like investing. What is investing? Where to invest? How to invest? What is stocks? I don't know the exact number, but a very little proportion of the people of India are investing in stocks. But stocks is one of the best ways by which you can put your money back to the economy. There's a lot of liquidity. You can get your money out easily. So that's just an example, but there are many other concepts in finance. So if I talk about a normal family, they should, if the schools are not teaching about finance, at least the family, the student himself must take the initiative of learning a bit of finance. So that will help him to make better decisions. And basically the main goal of every person is to be financially independent before 30, so that he can have that luxurious life in Goa and all that. For that, you need to learn finance today.
Okay, then, well, Sahej, I know you have already, you know, spoken about this part, but as you said, less than 5% of Indians invest in stock market nowadays. Like, would you like to throw some light on the myths and, you know, tell our audience about why they should invest their money and all?
Yeah. So let's start with the myths of stock market. People think that, like, you know, there was a series called a scam 1992. Yeah. So it portrayed Harshad Mehta. People thought that he's like the most savage person in all of India. Risk hai to risk hai. And people started to invest their money in the stock market. But they thought that paisa double, 21 din mein paisa double. That's nothing. Stock market is not like that. You will not get your money increased always. There are millions of stories how people lost their money in stock market. They went with all their life savings in the stock market and came out with zero. That's the biggest myth of stock market, that money doubles. So I give a basic understanding of stock market. What is stock market? The stock market is basically like if a company starts its business, in the earlier stages, it gets all its money from big investors, angel investors. But after some time, it has to start getting a lot of capital. It has to generate a lot of capital, because of which it issues something called as stocks and enters the stock market. People like you and me, the common people, we buy these shares and we sell it. There are two types of ways by which you can make profits. Either you sell it at a lower rate, or you can wait for the dividend, a very little dividend which comes from the company because you have owned the share. There's something about the stock market. And if I talk about investing, I had made a reel about that. My first reel was, why should you invest? Investing is the best way by which you can put your money back in the economy. If I talk in simple terms, let's take an example. Okay. So if you like, okay. So I'll change it. Okay. So let's talk about cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency. People think that Elon Musk, he had said some statement about invest in Dogecoin, and people will be mad behind him. Oh shit, Elon Musk has just told something about Dogecoin. People buy that and they get their money. There are so many stories that people had invested some $100 in 2010, which has got to some $10,000 today. But the thing is that people just see the good part of investing. Investing is necessary for your life, but you should also have to see what type of investment you are doing. There's something called a riskometer. Okay. You check it. If you talk about gold, the risk is a bit low. If you talk about cryptocurrency, the risk is a bit high. You have to check your risks and the money which you are keeping into it. So you should have a big understanding before investing a month, because investing is like fire. It will help you, but at the same time, it can burn you. Thank you.
Okay, well then, as you said, we should invest to circulate the money. But what do you actually mean? Well, the audience would like to know, what if I earn income and I keep it safe, let's say in my locker? So how does that, you know, affect the economy as a whole?
Okay, so yeah. So savings is basically a leakage in the economy. Okay, so there is something called as inflation. Every year your money is losing its value. So inflation happens basically because that every year the government has to print more and more notes. So if more and more notes are, it's a bit complex thing, but I'll just tell the basics of it. If more and more notes are printed, the value of each note will decrease. It's a basic math concept. Because of which your money is losing value. So if you keep your money safe with you in your chawal ki barni or something, today if the money, it's like depreciating its value every year. Just like a car kept in a garage, your money is also losing its value. So it's a loss for you as well as the economy. If you invest your money in the economy, for example, we talk about government bonds. Government issues its bonds. So if you put your money in government bonds, the government can use that money to make infrastructure projects. If you put your money in stock market, the big capitalists, the businesses, they'll pay more tax, which will help the government, which will help the economy. So every way of investment will, at the end of the day, it will help the economy. That is why investing is better than saving. However, you should, as I said before, investing is like fire. It will help you in the cold days, but it can also burn you. So you have to have a very good understanding before investing at the right place.
Okay, then coming back to the crypto point you pointed out, of course. So what do you say, like, there was a controversy in March 2021 that India is planning to ban crypto and, you know, keeping limitations on it. As you know, blockchain is a system free for all. Mm-hmm. It's not centralized. Yeah. So what do you think about those things? Do you think the blockchain system as it is right now should continue?
Yeah. So I personally think that blockchain is very revolutionary. The problem what governments are facing is that, so I explain the concept of cryptocurrency. Okay. Cryptocurrency basically, so we know every country has its own currency. In India, we have rupee. In US, we have dollar. Every country has a different currency. So the main head of these currencies, the main power with this currency is with the government. So for India, it's the Reserve Bank of India. It issues the notes. Only the Reserve Bank issues the notes in India, right? No one else can. So the main power of these currencies lies with the government. The thing with cryptocurrency is that cryptocurrency is free. It does not have control of any one government. So basically, it is one common currency. It's called, let's talk about Bitcoin, okay? So for Bitcoin, it uses the blockchain technology. So if I want to transfer, for example, 0.86 Bitcoins to you, so it will go in the so I'll just transfer it on my laptop. It will go in something called as a blockchain. Okay. It will not have each other's name. It will just have a unique code which we have. It's called a ledger. Okay. It's called to and from, all unique codes. No one can know who has transferred whom money. Because of this, the problem which countries are facing is that the governments don't have control on this money, right? So they cannot change its prices. They cannot do anything with it. So it's like they are feeling a bit powerless. Because of this, many countries are banning cryptocurrency. But if you talk about blockchain technology, if you not talk about the currency part, it's very the whole technology itself is very revolutionary. It can surely help us prosper in future. That's what I feel.
But Sahej, cryptocurrency is also used for transactions between the terrorists, and it is also misused around the world. So as you said, it is a boon for humans, but there are also some things which are pulling it back and affecting our economy and promoting stuff. So
yeah, I understand that fact. So you should, like, every coin has two sides. Okay, there is no coin with single side, right? It's a heads and it's a tails. So that's exactly like cryptocurrency. It's a boon as well as a little part is a base. But the good part is that we can still control that part. So the government are feeling powerless, but at the same time, there should be some global regulations behind cryptocurrency. Okay. So if regulations are there globally, not a particular country, because the thing where people are using cryptocurrency is because it has no government interference. So we cannot take that away. But if there is a global rule set by the UN example, I'm not sure, but if UN does it, so these things can be decreased. Okay. The problem of terrorists transferring money can still be solved if crypto, if government regulations or the global regulations are applied to it.
Sahej, I just had a follow-up question regarding cryptocurrencies. Yes. As you said that the Dogecoin hype made by Elon Musk was like, it was quite futile for me because I was one of them that invested in Dogecoin. I thought that it would be great as Bitcoin for some dumb reason. I don't know why. So, you know about NFTs, right? Like NFTs.
Yeah,
saying that NFT will never work out for some reason. They said the same thing about Bitcoin 10 years ago. So do you think that NFT will be big as Bitcoin or somewhat? Because I think that there are many people investing in it right now. So do you think NFT will be big as Bitcoin?
The thing is that whenever a new thing comes in the market, people think that this is not something which will work. So as you all know, that change is the only constant. If you want to change, you need to have development. But at the same time, the human mind resists change. People don't want to change. An interview of Bill Gates, had once said that people would not require more than 1 GB of data. Yeah, he thought that the 1 GB of data is for life. But like, he's Bill Gates, okay? He's the founder of Microsoft. But yeah, exactly. So you understand my point, right? So people don't understand about the different thing because it's something new in the market. They are resisting change. But change is the only constant. So I believe that NFTs will work out. It's a new concept. People might take time to understand it. The NFT art. People think that what is this? What is this digital art? Anybody can plagiarize it. But it's a different thing. So people will take time to develop. People will take time to go ahead. But I believe that NFTs can be bigger than Bitcoin as well.
Okay, thank you.
Sahej, if you look into the annual reports of public sector or the government companies, they have been making losses of over 400 crores. So do you think they are a financial burden to the economy at the cost of providing services?
So the thing is that public companies year by year have shown that they are loss making. However, that the thing is that if everything is capitalized, there will be no welfare for the common man. If we talk about a country like India, there is a lot of gap between the richest and the poorest. Because of which the poorest and richest have to come in an equal line. Because of which the company will make losses. But it is for the welfare at whole. So I believe that public companies, their only aim is to give welfare and not make profits. Because of which some losses are quite fine. However, if losses increase, the government has to, like, for example, let's take of Air India. Air India was making a lot of losses because of which the government had to strategically invest it. Yeah, so that's what I think about public companies.
Also, do you think India can become a global power if it becomes a capitalist economy rather than a mixed economy?
Yeah, so I believe that, you know, let's take an example of a person. Will he like something which is very hot or something which is very cold? He will like something which is in between, right? He will not like the extreme in the center. That's exactly why we have a mixed economy. A capitalist economy is a good way of system. Like, it's proven for countries like USA, where there's very little government interference and it's just the capitalism. But the problem with capitalist economy is like there is a lot of gap between rich and poor, like same as what India is facing right now. A capitalist economy, but you know, so there's very little welfare. For countries like USA, it will work out because the per capita income is very high. People have a lot of money there. They're basically a rich country. But we talk about countries like India, the per capita income is very low. The average of all the incomes is very low. Because of which, if we adopt a capitalist economy at this moment, there'll be more and more problems. The rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. On the other hand, if we think of a socialist economy, again, there will be problems. Because people will, there will be no innovation, right? If we talk about India, India has the highest number of people in the age of adolescence, like 13 to 19. People like us. It is the highest population. So this is very promising because the young people, they bring economy back to the track. They earn, okay. So So even if people migrate, there is a lot, there is a substantial amount of people who still stay in India. They work here, they get salaries, they invest in the economy again, and because of it, the country prospers. So, and problem with the socialist economy is that there is no innovation, right? Everything is government control. There is no scope of innovation. People get jobs from the government, they give tax to the government. There is no people between. But if we have such a big population in 13 to 19, we obviously want innovation, right? Innovation and development. That is the reason why I believe that mixed economy is the best for a country like India for the time being.
So, Sahej, do you think that a common man doing work from 9 to 5 can make investing and crypto as his second source of income?
Can you repeat the question? I just lost it.
So, my question is, can a common man doing kind of a 9 to 5 job make investing and cryptocurrency as his second source of income?
Yeah. So what I personally believe is, if you talk about cryptocurrency, that's a very good point that 9 to 5 people, obviously they can invest and be financially independent. But if you talk about cryptocurrency, as of now, cryptocurrency is not a very safe form of investment. Okay. I had invested in cryptocurrency about 4 months ago. At that time, it was like one Bitcoin is 23 lakh rupees. Today, I guess it is 38 lakh. So just in a little time, there's a lot of fluctuations. It's not very safe. However, if you want to keep a long-term investment for a lot of time, like I kept a long-term investment, so I'm not selling it now. I don't need the money now. I just kept it in cryptocurrency. In the future, I'll get out. So cryptocurrency, I believe that cryptocurrency is very good for a long-term investment for now. On the other hand, if you talk about stocks, stocks is a little better than cryptocurrency because it's much safer. You can easily get out your money. And stocks is very trending right now. People... It's better actually. My personal favorite is stock. So if people invest in a variety of, so you should not put all your eggs in one basket. You should take a variety of investments, understand them, and put all your money in them equally or depending on how you feel about it.
Sahej, but for cryptocurrencies are comparatively very sensitive. So for long term, investing our money in sensitive things can be risky, right?
Yeah. You got a point there. But the thing is that cryptocurrency, like I personally believe that cryptocurrency is going to be the future of currencies. You know, we are young people. So in the future, we would not want our government to control our currency because this new concept of independent currency, it's not controlled by any one government. So I believe that people in the future would opt cryptocurrency more than the normal fiat currencies. That is why I say that you should keep it for the long-term investment. I don't think that cryptocurrency will just go one day to zero and all your money will go away. Yeah, you should take one thing into consideration, that the cryptocurrency should be trusted enough. Like Bitcoin is trusted enough. But you should, like, there are many Bitcoin scams as well. There are many cryptocurrency scams as well. People come up with currencies and then they take your money and just run away. So you should invest in the trusted sources of cryptocurrency on trusted sites as well. Because there are many scam sites as well who take off your money and you just have nothing.
So Sahej, there are some of my friends who say that, you know, nahi karna yaar Bitcoin mein, crypto mein nahi karna hai, kabhi band kar dega country. So what do you think? Do you think India will go ahead and, you know, try to curb it or make it, you know, more government friendly?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this, but there was, I guess, an article about what India, there was a bill passed in the parliament. But as of now, India has not banned cryptocurrency. They're still thinking about it. The finance ministry, this is thing. So if you talk about China has come up with its own cryptocurrency. I forgot its name. It's something called as China coin, I guess, or China, something like that. But China has come up with its own cryptocurrency. So cryptocurrency is the future. Everybody should know that. So if India bans it, I think it's not a very wise choice for India to ban cryptocurrencies, because if you talk about the crypto investors in India, a large part of it is the 13 to 19, the teenagers. So as you know, Dogecoin.
Yes, as you said that cryptocurrency is the future. So I think El Salvador is a country that adopted Bitcoin as its currency. Yes. But I think they are still suffering in a financial crisis, and Bitcoin crashed 70% after they adopted it as their financial currency.
So the thing is that behind that financial crisis, there is a lot of different problems. There's a lot of different causes. There is not no just one perfect cause for a financial crisis. On the other hand, there is something called as Bitcoin halving. So the Bitcoins, the number of miners, they decrease after a certain amount of time. The last halving will happen on, I guess, on 2132. That's the last time the last Bitcoin will be mined. So Bitcoin is not something like our normal currency that will be printed every year, depending on what the RBI thinks. It is something which is limited. So if it is limited, obviously over a time, it will become more stable. Now it's very unstable. Like Devam just mentioned that it is very unstable. But over the years, it will become stable because Bitcoin is halving. So the last halving had happened, I guess, this year. The last halving had happened this year. Because of which the prices, the demand had increased, but the supply was low. And the prices shot up. And then suddenly after some year, after some time, it went down. Because if there's some sudden change, it takes some time to become stable. It will go up and down. So I guess you're talking about that. Because of Bitcoin halving, the prices went down.
Since we had a brief conversation regarding Hamare Gulag, like I think you said that you are the only one in Hamare Gulag. You have no team. You are one man army.
Yeah.
So does it make difficult for you to like pass on information to everyone regarding finance?
Yeah. So actually, nothing in life is easy, right? Everything is difficult, and if we take more of a startup thing, there's a lot of moving parts. So first, I have to think of what people will like. Okay, I have a whole list of topics where I've talked. I have a whole list of topics with people I think which people will find interesting. After that, I have to make a whole script about that. There'll be many changes in the script. Then I do shooting. Shooting takes a lot of time. After that, editing. So if I talk about a normal Instagram reel, I did that. Editing should be very good. People will see a video only if it is a good edit. Then I post it. Then I have to brand it, market it. Then I have to take information what people think about that. At the same time, I have to do more and more branding. It's a lot, but it's okay. I'm trying to manage everything. As I'm a teen entrepreneur, I also have school. So school and business together. It's an amazing experience being a one-man army behind a whole business.
We appreciate you for that. Just a last question, Saish. Where do you see Hamare Gulag in the future regarding, do you think Hamare Gulag will help Indians know about finance and all?
Yeah. Obviously, if you talk to a startup founder, obviously you'll think that this business is going to be obviously a very big thing. And yeah, I believe that Hamare Gulag is going to be a very big. My vision is to have our own syllabus. So if we have an own syllabus on financial education, we can go to different schools with that. We can start our own courses online, offline. We can do many things about that. So my main goal is to take Hamare Gulag outside India as well. So I want to make not India, but Asia financially independent, because Asia is one of the continents which have a lot of potential. Like people from India and China go to USA and work there. So obviously Indians, Chinese, Japanese, everyone has a lot of potential in them. So if there is a way by which they can be financially independent, the migration rates will also decrease because their parents are financially independent. They have a lot of money. The students, the children, they will think that even they'll become financially independent because they know a lot about finance. The migration rates will decrease, the country will prosper, and the economy will come to track. That's what
Thank
I
you,
think. Sahej. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sahej Arora, for your excellent views and answer to our questions. We would also like to thank our listeners on our podcast. Moreover, we would like to thank the people supporting our media page on social media. Sahej Arora, thank you so much for your time, and we had a great conversation with you. We will all see the listeners in the next podcast. Till then, goodbye. Sahej Arora, thank you so much. Literally, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. And we wish you good luck for Hamare Gulag. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.